Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paramount Communication Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Kumar Singh from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Ria. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all on behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services on this 4QFY25 post-results con call of Paramount Communication. We have with us today Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, Chairman and CEO, Mr. S.K. Agarwal, CFO, and Mr. Parth Agarwal, President, Marketing. Without much delay, I now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, which will be followed by Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Sanjeev, and good afternoon, everyone. I am Sanjay Agarwal, Chairman and CEO, Paramount Communications Limited. I welcome you all to this earnings call. I hope my voice is coming clear to everybody. Will somebody please confirm?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So let me first start with a small background of the company. Paramount Cables was established in 1955. We have a complete range of products for every segment of the cables market. We make power cables, we make telecom optical fiber power cables, we make railway signaling cables, we make house wires and special cables and many other special products for the cable industry. The company has two state-of-the-art manufacturing plants at Kushkheda in Rajasthan and at Dharuheda in Haryana, with a strong in-house R&D team and a focus on excellence in design and quality. I am happy to share that the company has become debt-free in the financial year 25, and we have liquidated all our debts obligations during this year. Paramount has achieved its highest ever quarterly and yearly revenue in the current quarter and the financial year 25. We have achieved a revenue growth of 47% plus in financial year 25, having achieved a total revenues of rupees 1587 crores for the financial year 25. The company has achieved 3-year CAGR of 39.5% in revenues, 77% in EBITDA, 138% in PBT, and 120% in PAT from financial year 22 to 25. The company has been able to improve its working capital efficiency by having been able to reduce the working capital days from 155 to just 101 days from FY24 to FY25. This means a reduction of nearly 33%. The company has achieved a reduction in debtor days from 86 to 47 days and in inventory from 108 to 97 days. The company has achieved positive operational cash flow of rupees 104 crore against a negative cash flow of rupees 101 crore in FY24. Of course, this was majorly caused because of the investor funds that had come during that year and were majorly used into the working capital at that time. The company has consumed 26,601 metric tons of metal, that is copper and aluminium, in FY25, as against 16,987 metric tons during the previous year, showing a growth in production volume of 57%. So let me just underline that although the revenue growth in FY25 has been 47%, the actual volume growth in terms of metal consumed has been 57%. Paramount is further targeted to grow its top line with a CAGR of minimum 30% over the next 5 years also, and we hope to exceed rupees 5,000 crores in revenues by FY2030. We have been allotted recently 31 acres of land in the industrial area of Narmadapuram in Madhya Pradesh by MPIDC. This land will be utilized by us to set up our new greenfield manufacturing facility for manufacturing of wires and cables, aligning with our growth targets. The company is targeting to begin commercial production in this plant within FY26. The company targets US exports to constitute around 40% of its total revenues in the coming years, mainly through our distribution network in the US. Now I request our CFO, Mr. S.K. Agarwal, to give a summary of the Q4 consolidated financial performance of the company.
Good afternoon. This is S.K. Agarwal. Now I will give a summary of the quarter 4 consolidated financial performance of the company. The revenue in Q4 25 was total 507 crore as against 320 crore in the same quarter 4 last year, that is Q4 24. It means it's showing a growth of 57% in the revenue over the same quarter last year. EBITDA during this quarter is 33.5% with a margin of 6.6% as against 29.9 crore with a margin of 9.2% in the same quarter of the previous year. Profit before tax in this quarter is 25.4 crore against rupees 25.9 crore in the same quarter of the previous year. Out of the revenue during the year, the domestic sale of wires and cables constitute rupees 361 crore as against 261 crore in the same quarter last year. That is a growth of approximately 38%. In domestic cable event, the power cable sale constitute 301 crore as against 146 crore in the last year same quarter. That is a growth of 106%. Power cable sales constitute around 59% of the total company sales in this quarter against 45% for Q4 of the previous year. Other domestic sales comprise of railway cable sales of 18 crore, house wire 26 crore and telecom and other sales. The export to US during this quarter was 146 crore against rupees 63 crore in the same quarter last year. That is achieving a growth of around 133%. Export sales constituted 28.9% of our total sales as against 19.4% in the previous year same quarter. Now I will give a summary of the financial highlight of the FY25 and consolidated result for FY25. The revenue from operation in FY25 is 1576 crore against 1071 crore last year. The growth in revenue is 47% over the last year. EBITDA is 134 crore against rupees 97 crore in the previous year. It means that there is a growth of around more than 38% in the EBITDA. EBITDA margin is little bit down, that is from 9% to 8.5% as against previous year. PBT before tax in FY25 is 111 crore against 82 crore last year, showing a growth of 35% in the value terms. Profit after tax for FY25 is 87 crore against 85.6 crore last year, showing growth of 1.6%. This is mainly because of the tax implication. The last year, due to BF losses, the company was not liable to pay any taxes. But this year, since Q2, of FY25, the company is liable to, there is a liability of the tax payment also. That is the reason the PAT is almost same over the last year. Profit after tax for FY domestic sales, then again, the domestic sales of wires and cables in FY 25 are rupees 1093 crore against 794 crore in FY 25, showing a growth of 38% in the domestic sales. Similarly, out of the domestic cable sales, the power cable sales stood at rupees 787 crore against 444 crore in the last year, showing a growth of 77%. Power cable sales constitute around 50% of the total company sale in FY 25, as against 41% of the total sales in FY 24. Other sales comprise the railway cable sales, house wire, telecom, and some other cables. During the year FY 25, the total export sale was 483 crore, as against 276 crore last year, showing a growth of 75%. And the export sale, out of the total sale, the export sale constitutes 31% of our total sales in FY 25, as against 26% in the last year. All our export sales were through our established distributor network spread across the USA. The company has a pending order book of around more than 650 crore as on 31st March 25, comprising of domestic cables roughly more than 325 crore and export of the similar amount around 325 crore. The company has incurred during the year FY 25, we have incurred a capital expenditure of 64 crore as against 61 crore in FY 24. Now I would like to hand over to our chairman, Sri Sanjay Agarwal, for further.
So I think we have completed our explanation of the results from our point of view, and we would be very happy to answer any questions or queries from any of the attendees.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Dhruv Mukesh Vajaj from Dhruv Consultancy Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on a decent set of numbers on the volume front. My first question was that with the volume consumption growing faster than the sales, I'm actually a bit surprised as we were earlier guiding to move towards more value-added products. However, our realization seems to be falling down. So what's happening on that front? Like, is it because of lower input costs or some changing product mix that is contributing to this?
No, our realization, if you would clarify a bit, what do you mean by realization, sir?
So you actually mentioned in your earlier call that our consumption of steel has actually increased by 56%, whereas our sales have increased by some 40%. So I was just trying to understand the divergence between the two.
Let me explain it to you. You see, metal prices have shown a downward trend in the past 2 years. Not only this year, in the previous year also, the metal prices have been coming down. Basically, commodity prices had touched their peak during FY23. So as reduction happened, we had to produce more to sell the same amount, right? So now if I consume 57% more of metal, I've been able to bring up my value of sales by only 47%. So this means that there has been a slight reduction in the metal prices or commodity prices. It's not that heavy a reduction, but still it is there, because there is a gap between 57% volume and 47% revenue increase.
Got it. So this is because of lower input cost versus the product mix change, right? I was just trying to understand that.
Absolutely. So that means that the per unit, per kg cost of metal or commodities has had a reduction. So, for example, okay. So, I hope this answers your question, right?
Yes, yes, this answered my question. And sir, in our previous call, we guided for a 100 basis points margin jump going forward. However, to our surprise for this quarter, our operating margins fell down significantly from 9% levels to 6% levels despite higher share of exports. So is it because of higher share of power cables or some particular revenue booking, or what happened on this front, sir?
1 minute. Are we discussing gross margin or are we discussing EBITDA?
No, EBITDA.
EBITDA, right. EBITDA has gone down by around 2.7-2.8%. That is true in this particular quarter. You have to square this with the huge jump in volumes, in the huge jump in revenue that has happened during this quarter. There has been a conscious effort in our company to consider best possible utilization of the increase in capacity that is happening in these 2 years. Plus, there is a conscious effort to de-risk ourselves in view of the uncertainties that have been caused in a major segment of our market, which is the US market. So if you have to suddenly jack up your volumes at a short notice, and then at the same time you have to be careful about what is your involvement going to be on working capital front, for example. So certain trade-offs have to be made. So you see, ultimately I believe that the final outcome is less in percentages and more in absolute rupees. So I am more bothered about how much EBITDA in terms of rupees has the company earned, because the company is not having any extra debt, the company is not having any extra capital. Within the same amount of money, if the company has done a bigger revenue and the company has been able to find greater profits, greater EBITDA, I think instead of the typical, theoretical, analysis of everything on percentage basis, one has to come down to the real rupees and dollars that you get into your balance sheet, right?
Sir, but again, if we increase the capacity by so much so as to cater to the demand, and earlier we were seeing a good demand scenario wherein we could increase our sales at the same time, the margins that we will command from our products will be fairly decent. So I was just trying to understand from that front, like, is it because of some pushback in USA business that we are reducing our margins so as to cater to higher volumes? And
As I said, if one has to de-risk, and it's a combination of factors. Business strategy has to be evolving, not even in a quarterly, I would say monthly or even a weekly or a daily basis. As the situation evolves, if it sticks to a certain path that I made this announcement X in my last earnings call and this is what I am going to stick to by road, I don't think that company has a bright future. Every business has to evolve and improvise on a daily basis. And we have been changing our strategy as the situation has been evolving. When we saw the situation becoming difficult on one front, we said, okay, let's do something better. End of the day, it is the bottom line which matters. Of course, analysts love percentages, and I respect them for that. But in addition, at the end of the day, you have to appreciate that the company has to bring home the bacon, we have to bring home the results, which is the result is the rupee in the net form which the shareholder gets as a profit, right?
Right. Sir, but again, our projections and all are based on what the company has guided, and again, so I completely understand your perspective from a businessman, and that's what I'm trying to understand. Like, are we facing pressure somewhere? That's why we are pushing more volumes.
What I'm trying to say, when I make, I give you my understanding of the market and the current situation, I am giving it as the best possible understanding of the market today. Now, ultimately, understanding could change tomorrow. What has to not change, what must always improve as an owner, what I must say, what as a promoter, as a CEO of the company, I must deliver, the final outcome must be better than that what I predicted, what I hoped to get. So ultimately, they are working on the outcomes. Now, I'll give you an example. Look at the outcome. In FY23, I had 50% of my revenues in exports to the US. Now, that's a very nice round number. Right?
Okay.
Next year, this drastically went down from 50% to something like 35%. Now, that was a disaster. Was it? No, it was not a disaster. Because if I did 400 crores out of 800 crores in from the US, and US market had a very much, you know, very weak market for the FY24, I still grew 35%. My domestic revenues, my domestic sales, I was able to double from 400 crores to 800 crores in FY24. That was the previous year. Okay. So outcomes have to be given the importance. You have to make sure that what you deliver is ultimately for the best. If I had gone and, you know, concerned myself about my market shares and this and that, probably that would not have been the right strategy. So again...
No, that makes sense.
So that is exactly what we are doing. We are working to make sure that the company delivers the best possible outcome for its stakeholders, for its shareholders. So this year, as we saw capacity, okay, if suddenly you want to increase your market share in a segment of the market, or you want to, let us say, enter even within power cable, I want to suddenly jack up my share in one particular segment of power cable market, for example. How do I do it? I have to do it by being more competitive, by delivering faster, and at the same time, what I need from that market is to maybe pay me faster so that my working capital, I am able to circulate much faster. You see the results for the company that I have made my working capital two-thirds. One-third reduction in the working capital days.
Right.
End of the day, I know that the percentages don't look good when there's 0.5% reduction in EBITDA. But I feel much better off as a company, as a CEO, on having delivered a much higher profit.
No, sir, that is very helpful. I was just trying to understand the scenario, like what led to that. And so just my last question. So we have shared that we are targeting some 30% volume growth in coming 3 to 5 years. So is there growth contingent or a new capex for which we have gotten this 30 acre land, or does our existing capacity have enough fuel to, let's say, ensure that we can grow at this pace for next maybe 1 or 2 years by the time the new capex comes live?
No, you see, our existing two plants at Dharuhar and Kushkeda, we have been doing capex consistently in the past 2-3 years, and we hope that we should be able to achieve something up to around 2000 crores from these two plants. But beyond which, our new greenfield plant has to start delivering capacity, delivering you know, production. So that's what we are working on. The new plant we have already started, you know, on our construction and everything. We hope that before the end of this financial year, at least some revenue stream will start coming from the Narmadapuram plant also.
Got it, sir. That is from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Liladhar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is related to the order book and where your order book from the export has, you know, increased significantly, and now it's a 50% of your entire order book. You know, what we had observed, that's the power order book always in the higher side, that has a reduced. So what you will see the way forward, can we see in the next couple of quarters our power segment to, you know, be little soft, and the export is the one which is going to drive your top line?
I must appreciate the, you know, the depth at which you have seen our numbers. But let me just, you know, clarify. The order book is a reflection of many factors. It's a reflection of how prompt I was in my supplies for that segment in the previous quarter. That is one reflection. The other is that how much orders I am willing to have in my hand on a particular date. Now, on this particular segment, you know, we are slightly different from many of our peers. If you look at our record, we have mostly been saying and sharing that we are not fans of a big order book. We are not very happy to have a large order book. We try to have an order book, at least at the firm price basis, only up to next 2-3 months for which I am able to book my metal. Other than that, order book I get, I want to have it on a variable basis. So there are many factors which go into the order book. We are not having any concerns as to our capability to get the business, to land the orders on a regular basis, and these are more or less strategic decisions as to how much order book we want to have in our hand. Because the more we, for example, in the export, even if you are saying that it's become 50% of my order book, we are slightly concerned to have a large export order book again. Because we do not want to have our capacity clogged with orders in hand when we could avail of some better opportunities coming our way, which would be possible only if we have some spare capacity on a short delivery basis. So that is something I think Mr. Parth would like to also add something.
I also add. So basically, you know, the order book scenario also changes on quarter to quarter. For example, in the last quarter, domestic order booking is always a slightly lower. You know, people are more on finishing their orders placed. And we always see quarter four as in domestic power cables, order booking being lower, and quarter one, again, the order book starts picking up. So that might be reflected a bit in that scenario.
Yeah. But you see, basically, as I said, we are not big fans of big order books.
Right, sir, right. It's always a better and choose an order and execute on the timely basis. Really appreciate for that. Second thing, sir, is related to the, definitely it's a repetitive to the last participant, the realization number. Because revenue growth versus volume growth, it's a clear reflection. There is a some contraction on the YOI side in the realization for yours, and maybe deal with the, you know, product mix. Because in this quarter, we had seen the copper or aluminum prices were quite a firm. Quarter, month on month, there had been a very firm. And around 17% of a growth in the copper prices we had seen in the YOI side. So is it only because of a product mix you had seen, you know, that's a contraction in your realization, or something else we need to look at?
I think it's a quite a complex equation. I think you have really, you know, analyzed the matter very correctly. The realization in terms of metal consumption vis-a-vis by revenues has to be a mix not only of, it is dependent on the average price of metal, average price of copper and aluminium, but it could also be a measure of, the price per kg of cable versus price per kg of metal content in that. That ratio also keeps changing because of the sort of product mix that one gets. So these are a bit complex equations which are hard to predict in advance even, and one looks at them more as a result of the numbers that one sees, or rather than as a prediction.
I will add to this. So if you see our metal consumption of FY24 vis-a-vis FY23, there was an increase of more than 70% of metal consumption. But the sales increased by, I think, 34% or something in FY24 versus FY23. Whereas this year, metal increase is 57% and sales increase is 47%. So from that analysis, you would say that the realization is slightly better.
So it could be mix of both the metal price and the average content of metal in the total cable price. That could also be changing. That's true.
Export, the metal cost is low, and domestic, the metal cost is high.
Sometimes.
So that also changes the equation. So it is not a apple to apple case. It depends on the different kinds of products, the different kind of sales, and a lot of other factors.
Got it, sir. Got it. Really helpful, sir, for that. On the working capital, we had seen the good improvement, significant improvement in the working capital, and largely to do with your receivable. So way forward, do you see this kind of working capital, and especially the receivable days you are going to work with?
You see, one would try and maintain these levels and if possible improve these levels. That's what one can say. Because, you know, as the working capital requirement goes up, ultimately for it is for the company to find additional working capital, which is also not a very easy thing, right?
Right. Because that is a significant reduction we had seen in the receivable actually. So that's why, is it because of the product or a segment mix which you had entered in or did well?
In one way I can say that we have compromised on margins for the customers which are paying us much faster also.
Not lesser.
So that...
Yes. Last year in
FY... Yeah, I hear you. I think our exposure to government business was also reduced this year, so that would also have helped.
So that strategy you are going to follow with the restricted working capital and slightly lower margin, the way forward would be better for you?
I can only say that we have no fixed policy except for increasing our profits.
The CAGR of 30% is
better. The CAGR... Revenues and CAGR of profits, that is what we need to maintain. And whatever be the strategy, whatever it takes, we should be willing to innovate and we should be able to improvise.
Right, sir, right. Really appreciate for that. Sir, last question on your expansion, that's 31 acre of a land in the MP which you had taken. Can you give some timeline, capex, how much you are doing and what kind of product you are start with? And also if you can give us some, like how much of an asset turn you are expecting from this capex.
You see, we are looking at roughly 150 crores of capex in phase one for the Narmadapuram facility. Asset turn could go up to 6 roughly, because we will be looking at getting revenues of around 1,000 crores from this facility within the next 3 years. It won't happen immediately, but we hope to get around 1,000 crores within the next 3 years from this facility. And what else did you want to know about this?
No, I'll correct you. By the end of 3 years, we will expect 2,000 crore revenue from this facility.
No, 3 years is 1,000 crores. And then we'll keep adding. And we'll have to do more capex also.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
So 150 crore of a capex and 1,000 crore of a revenue you are expecting from this plant after 3 years.
Right. And this 150 crore is phase one.
1,200.
And yeah, but you see, I'm just told that the actual plan is 1,200, which is fine. But you know, I'll still say 1,000.
And 1,500.
Yeah. We have to be as conservative as possible and deliver as best as we can. That's what we try and do always.
Okay. Okay. And largely to do with the power cable here, manufacturing?
It'll be both power cables. It'll be almost mostly power cables. Some higher, we are going to ultimately target 220 kV also, but in the first phase probably we'll be looking at 110 kV and 132 kV, and at the same time we will be bringing in certain new products also which we'll disclose later.
Okay. And one clarification, sir, lastly, that export is mostly U.S. or some more destinations you do?
You see, Paramount throughout last 40 years, more than 40 years, we have been exporting across the world to almost all continents, all geographies, so many countries, more than 30 countries. But once the U.S. market developed, we realized that it was more sensible for the company to focus on one large market where there was a uniformity of product and a uniformity of demand, and where our quality had been accepted and is being accepted as one of the best quality products available in that market. and to consolidate on that market. So therefore, we have reduced our exposure to most of the other export markets, although we keep doing exports to some other countries. But I must admit that US is now 95% of our exports.
Okay, sir. And in the order book also the similar 95%, 90-95%?
We have export orders from other countries also, but much lower, because we really are not working on the other countries right now. Till we exploit the full potential of this one large market.
Perfect. Right, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Suresh Pal from KRSP Capital Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Pal, you can go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Am I audible, sir? Yeah, sir. My question is, this quarter, in quarter four, our revenue has jumped very nicely, but our margins have dipped. The margins have dipped from 9% to 6%. So what is the explanation for that, for this quarter-on-quarter margin dip? And my next question is, are we going to maintain the revenue growth momentum going ahead?
I think regarding the EBITDA levels, I have already answered the question, in fact, twice. So I hope that I can be excused for that. As regards the margins going forward, revenues going forward, you see, if you look at our CAGR for the last 3 years, it is already 39% in revenues. And if you look at my CAGR on EBITDA level, it is 77%. We do not want to make rash predictions. And we have always talked about 30% growth in the last 2-3 years also. And we will stick to our minimum target of 30% CAGR over the next 5 years. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, we will stick to our target of 5,000 crores by 2030, which I feel is quite conservative by all standards.
But sir, what about the margins? What percentage of margins do you think is sustainable? Because revenue growth at the cost of margin sacrifice is not acceptable, right?
So, Mr. Pal, it might not be acceptable to you, but as far as I am concerned, what is acceptable to me is the rupees that go to the shareholder, to the stakeholder, should increase in a resounding manner. They should increase regularly. If I have to get more rupees of profit by increasing my revenue at a lower margin, or I have to do lower sales at a higher margin, that is a strategic decision the company will take as every time it needs to take a decision. So that is the view of the company, and I respect your view, and I have no quarrel with that. But as a company, we feel that what is important is how much profit we deliver to our shareholders and how.
Is this 6% margin is going to be the new normal? 6% or 5% margin is going to be the new normal?
No. There is going to be no new normal. The new normal is a new normal every quarter. And look at every company, every peer or non-peer, any business, the business percentages, everything changes according to the market situation. And there are market situations, there are market opportunities. And within the same industry, company A has a different opportunity or challenge, company B has a different opportunity or challenge. So every company has to look at its own market scenario. Our job as a company is, as I said and I'll repeat, to deliver the maximum profits for our shareholders. And that, whether it comes by a higher revenue with a lower margin or a lower revenue with a higher margin, that is a decision the company has to take every time it needs to take a decision.
So, sir, going ahead, what percentage of growth in profit can we expect?
As I said, we are looking at least 30% CAGR in revenues for the next 5 years. 30% CAGR in the revenues definitely means much better increase the CAGR in profits. There has been a certain blockage in the growth of PAT for these 2-3 quarters, because only for the last 3 quarters we have started paying tax. Prior to that, we were into losses. And we were able to absorb the previous losses. And therefore, we were not paying any tax. Now, at least for these next 2 quarters also, there will be a transition. There will be a changeover. After, let us say, Q2 of FY26, there will be an apple-to-apple comparison because all the previous quarter being compared will also be a quarter which will have paid full tax. Right now, we are not able to compare apples to apples. We are comparing quarters in which tax was paid to quarters in which no tax was paid. So instead of PAT, we should compare PBT. And if you look at PBT, that is a better situation. Right?
No, sir, what I'm asking is, you are giving a revenue guidance of 30 to 35% for next 5 years. So let me ask, what percentage of growth in PBT level do you expect going ahead?
What percentage of? Can you please repeat?
I'm saying you are giving a guidance of 30 to 35% CAGR for revenue, top line. I am asking what percentage of revenue growth, what is the CAGR expected in PBT level going ahead? In PBT level, what is the CAGR expected in PBT level?
I think this is exactly what I said, sir. I said that if my top line is having a CAGR of 30%, the CAGR in PBT has to be much higher. Now, whether it is, instead of 30%, it becomes 45 or 50 or 60, that time will tell. But common sense tells us, I am not making an announcement or a projection, but a common sense says that if my CAGR in revenue is 30%, my CAGR in PBT should be at least 60%.
But sir, for that to happen, you have to increase your margins, right? Just now you told that you might sacrifice margins for increasing revenue. So if your PBT profit your tax has to grow at a faster level than your revenue, your margins must increase. That's why I'm confused actually.
No, sir. I think you'll have to repeat because I think you spoke a bit fast, but your voice was not clear. Can you just speak a bit slowly?
Yeah, sure. You are saying that in the growth in profit before tax level will be much more higher than growth in the revenue growth. For that to happen, your margins must increase or else it is not possible. So, few minutes ago, you told that a company will decide whether to sacrifice margin for top line growth or not. So, when you are saying that profit before tax level will go at a faster level than revenue, that means margins have to increase from here on. That's what I'm not understanding.
Mr. Pal, let me just say that I am not a committed ideologist for margins or for this or for that. As I said, my only ideology is that my company has to deliver more profits for the shareholders. And the basic rule is that as long as I keep my growth intact, if as long as I am growing at 30% minimum, I will be delivering more profits. As to your question about sacrificing margin for revenue, I can explain it to you. If instead of 30%, I decide I am able to grow at 50%, but I cut down my EBITDA from X percent to Y percent, but still deliver more rupees, that is the actual comparison, what I am trying to say.
Got it, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Venture Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are audible. Please.
Congratulations, sir, for good set of numbers. My question is on your export side. As you suggested, we are exporting, we are targeting around 5% of the US. And currently we are seeing that there is a tariff situation going on in the US. Hello?
So I think there is disturbance. There is some disturbance. Kindly repeat. And if there is some background noise, please try to be away from it.
Yeah. Now, is it fine, sir?
No, it is still not clear.
Just wait for a while, sir.
Now is it fine?
Yes.
Yeah, so my question is on your export side, like you suggest that we are targeting around 40% to the tariff war going on in the industry, like Trump's threat for the reciprocal tariff that he has posed for a time. So what kind of margin impact are we expecting from this tariff, or what is the existing import duty that is being imposed by the US on our goods? And if the reciprocal tariff is implemented on us, so what would be the impact on overall situation?
You see, let me tell you that these are all matters of conjecture, and what I expect could be totally different from what the next person expects. And let me just share some things with you. The fact is that there has been one big tariff change, which happened in the month of April also already, right? There was a 10% tariff which was imposed. Now, whenever there is a sudden change in tariff or anything else in a market, the existing suppliers will mostly have to suffer some initial discomfort, some initial pain, which happened to us also. Because if you have goods in transit, if there is something that you have manufactured, there are some buyers who will be willing to share the pain, there will be some buyers who might not be willing to share the pain. You will have to, you know, it becomes a mix of so many factors. But end of the day, after the in-transit matter or whatever is fluid that has been settled, then you tell the buyer that, gentleman, I am willing to supply only if you are happy to bear the cost. So after the changeover period, the transitional period, if you have a strong position in the market, which Paramount luckily has a reasonably strong position in the US market, we were able to get the customers to agree to bear the cost fully. So it is a transitionary, in during transition there will be problems. So now if the reciprocal duty gets imposed at some point, we really don't know. But what we are sure of is, unless India is treated very, very negatively by the US government in comparison to the countries that are competing with us, if that happens, yes, there could be a problem. If we are, you know, dealt with on a similar level or the earlier competitive situation is restored, we feel that we are in a reasonably strong position because we have grown so much in the last 5-7 years in this market on that competitive position only. Tomorrow, if the competitive position of India increases vis-a-vis countries like Vietnam or Cambodia or even South Korea, that could significantly alter the situation. Now, these are the things. There is no graph, there is no commitment I can make tomorrow that this is what is going to be the result of this. It could turn out to be very positive for us. It could turn out to be negative for us. But what I can assure my investors is, we are not particularly in a difficult position. When my revenues from US went down by 30%, I was able to double my domestic sales, even in the just previous to previous year, in FY24 itself. By 400 crores of domestic sales, we were able to pull up to 800. So that is only because of the reputation which Paramount enjoys. It is because of the registrations, the customer approvals across the board that Paramount has, because of our long legacy and history of being in this industry since 1955. So that is something. 45 plus 25, 70 years is a track record of Paramount, and that I would always say is our basic and the biggest strength.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir, for a very detailed answer of this. And sir, what is the effective import duty being imposed by the US to us currently?
Currently, their duty imposed is around between 14 to 15%.
14 to 15%.
Depending on the exact product.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, and congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tushar Raghate from Kamakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So this is the extension of the earlier participant question. So you said that currently our duty is 14% to 50%. Just wanted to know the competitor's duty as of now. Yes.
See, as of now it is very fluid. But we have been, you know, I have been exporting to the US now since 2018. And in 2019, India was removed from the MFN status under the GSP by US. And since then, we have been paying roughly 4 to 5% customs duty on most of the products. Whereas most of our competitors have been paying zero, some because of their trade pacts with the US and some because of their poor country status. So we were practically the only country exporting to the US with customs duty being paid, roughly 4 to 5%. And despite that, we have grown. Now, after the imposition of reciprocal duties, right now, every country has been uniformly, slapped with 10%. So that practically puts the situation back to where it was earlier. The comparative disadvantage remains to India, to Indian exporters, is the same. Right? We don't know what will happen after 8th of July when the US government actually announces what all deals have been made with various countries and what are the reciprocal duties they are going to impose on other countries and what is the duty that actually India will end up having to bear.
Fair enough, sir. Sir, I could see like from FY14 till FY25, so earlier we used to have trade receivable as a percentage of sales in the range of 30% to 40%. Currently in FY25, it's 13%. Huge improvement in the trade receivables part. Just wanted to know what would be the sustainable level for that. And sir, inventory has been fluctuating as a percentage of sales. I won't consider that, but a sustainable trade receivable going forward. And in case, if prima facie you said that 40% would be US going forward, in case situation is not under favor and we started domestic as a percentage of our sales being higher number, so how could that change our working capital going forward?
You see, our CFO will answer your question in detail, but just a comment from my side. You see, working capital again is a very complex mix of business decisions that one takes and the business scenario that one is having. What is the percentage of customers that are willing to pay in a shorter period? What are the percentage of customers who are not? What is your need to go to that particular market? So it's again a mixed equation. So what is the sustainable level of working capital in terms of, if you look at it, the sustainability of working capital, I would ideally like it to be the lowest number because that gives me the highest chance to grow my revenues. Because ultimately the number of times I am able to circulate my same amount of working capital, it gives me bigger revenues. Bigger revenues means better profitability, right? But it's also a function of what particular markets one is doing business in. But as to your question on the exact numbers, I think Mr. S.K. Agarwal will just tell you.
Yeah, Mr. Sharma, thank you very much for a good question on working capital. So I'd like to mention here that number one, your company Paramount is not having any banking facility at present. The last year our working capital level was a little bit higher because the last year we received huge money from the investors also.
24. Last year means FY
24. 24. So that's the reason that our working capital level was a little bit higher. In the current year, we have been able to reduce our working capital days. Number one, because of the prompt payment from our customers, that is supplying against LCs or taking the advance payment only to manage our working capital in a better way. And secondly, you can see in the quarter four, we have been able to achieve a turnover of 500 crore. It means selling the product at a faster speed and liquidating our inventory at a faster speed. So that way the company has been able to manage our working capital and that endeavor will be in the future also. But the combination, whatever you are saying, ki everything depends on the nature of customers and the nature of delivery and the lot of other factors, the export and domestic combination, there are a lot of other factors. If I make more supply to the government party, the number of working days may increase, it will be. So that's the situation. But ultimately, yes, I agree with you, the company is... interest is always to keep the working capital at the lowest level and see the with the available resources we are able to achieve higher and higher turnover.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to know, like, in case if our revenue is 100% domestic on that front, what would be the trade receivable as a percentage of sales? I just wanted to know that.
See, in case if I have the domestic sale 100%, so that too also depends ki what, how much supplies to the government and how much supplies to the non-government entity.
See, Tushar, in domestic sales also, there are many, many segments, right? It's not just domestic is one segment. There is private customers, there are EPC players, there is government business. So everyone might have a different payment scenario, like Shambhuji said. As per the business available, opportunities available, it would be decided. But like he has guided, we will try to follow the similar number that we have shown this year.
Fair enough, sir. That was helpful. So just wanted to know the capex which you are planning. It will start contributing in the revenue from Q1 FY27. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, this is what we target. At least we shall start the commercial production during this financial year itself, the current financial year, FY26 itself.
Okay, from Q4 you are saying, right?
Maybe.
Maybe Q4 this year or maybe Q1 next year, hopefully, yeah.
Okay, fair enough, sir. That was really helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. On the
Thank
behalf
you.
Of Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.